Aloha, Brendan.
Good evening, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast, number 126.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I thought we were on like 106. How did I lose 20 episodes?
Wait. No, wait. Are we?
No, I don't know. I don't count.
No, I'm pretty sure we are. Am I doing this math wrong? I wrote 126, but I could be completely wrong. No, it's got to be, right? Because it's been 2 years. It's been over 2 years. So that's over 100 episodes. And we did 100 episodes in whenever that was when I went up to Sebastopol. So it's been more than 20 episodes since then, right?
Oh, man. I'm out of it. Okay. Oh, yeah. 120. Yeah, this is 120. Holy shit.
Time flies when you're having a podcast.
Yep, that too.
Oh, it's been good. It's been great. I've been doing all sorts of good stuff the last week. We saw some shows together. You saw a show that I didn't see. So what's interesting is I didn't see... what show did we see together? We went to the Academy of Sciences, the nightlife show. But and I was supposed to go with you to see the Meltdown show, but there was some complications with scheduling and health. So we had to
thanks Obama.
We had to do some rearranging for that. But someone who actually went to both of those shows is our guest this week. So without further ado, let me introduce Jillian.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi. Cool.
This feels so fake.
It does. It does. It feels kind of like we've done this before or something, sort of.
Maybe. Groundhog Day was yesterday, not today.
Deja vu.
Well, in that case, the thing that I wanted to talk about was how you got... to see both of those shows, both the Academy of Sciences nightlife show and the Meltdown.
Yeah, so my first time at Sketchfest, so it was a great introduction. Went with both of you guys up on Thursday, I think it was?
Yep.
Yeah, to nightlife at the Academy, and then got to go up Saturday to Meltdown.
Very fun.
Yeah, that Academy of Sciences really got classed up by that competitive erotic fan fiction.
So many people had no idea what that was going to be like.
Yeah.
And I think it surprised
them. They bailed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... We walked into a completely full room. It was standing room only, maybe, I would say, 4 or 5 people deep around the bank of chairs for the stand-up kind of portion. And we were just kind of hanging out, and we were hoping that once... the competitive erotic fan fiction show started, we could like come in to grab a seat, and we grabbed seats. It was the three of us and Garen, another friend of the podcast, composer of our fine theme song, and we were able to get seats. But I was really surprised by how many people were leaving.
Well, the title makes it sound like it's going to be really sexy and maybe provocative, and what it really is people trying to outdo themselves on how, like, weird and offensive as you can be.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, but not what people expect.
That's two of my favorite things, dick jokes and surrealism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I think, extra filthy this time around.
I will never look at French onion soup the same.
Oh. Yeah, it was a good time. We also saw the planetarium show, which I thought was really cool, except for the part where the whoever was running the actual planetarium, I guess I never really knew that wasn't a pre-programmed kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I guess they were pulling up stuff real time, and they were just not like super smooth on transitions, and especially with like a lot of the zooming in and out was a little nuts. And then we found out that If you go to Nightlife, pro tip, they have different themed cocktails at the different drink stations all around. And they have one drink station, which is just like good beer and whiskeys.
Good whiskeys.
Yes.
Versus the other booths.
Which I had. I had the other the other booze, actually. The other booth.
Or the stupid cabinet with expired beer in it.
Oh, yeah. That was not cool. But to be fair, the cafe is under renovation, so it's possible that beer is as old as that renovation.
They probably also don't sell beer during the normal day, so...
Oh, that's a really good point.
Because of the children's that ruin right. everything.
It was really awesome to be there with no kids. That was the best part.
That's the best way to science.
Yeah.
Yeah, had you been to the Academy of Sciences? I actually, the only time I've been to the Academy of Sciences is during Nightlife, since they've renovated and added the rainforest thing. So I would like to go during the day to see that, but I'd only gone at night, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm fine with no kids and booze.
Yes. That makes it a great experience. I went with my sister during the day, and we did the rainforest thing and the planetarium and several different, like, we explored the aquarium downstairs, which mm-hmm. was awesome. So,
yeah, I really like the, I remember really enjoying the aquarium, like, every time I would go. There used to be a kind of lizard house that had, it was the one with the two-headed snake.
What?
This was there for years upon years. And when I would go, it would be like, oh, it's a two-headed snake. Oh, my God. How does it work? Yeah, that little sign.
How does it work? It's snakes. It's snakes.
Genetics.
Yeah. No, it's neat. And I do have to go, like, visit kind of again. It would be nice. But I do agree, like, with the... With booze, it certainly helps. Another thing that I have to go to that is also with booze and science-y is the Exploratorium.
Hmm.
Have either of you been since they've moved over to the piers?
I've never been.
I have not been since they moved.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's worth going to. And they do a nightlife thing there, too. I think it's called Exploratorium After Dark or some other saucy name for something like that. But
saucy.
After dark. You don't say after dark unless it's like you're implying like lots of sex.
I don't know when you would say saucy, but I guess now. That's more what I was taking issue with.
Anyway, the Exploratorium is great because they all of the exhibits are interactive exhibits, and I don't mean interactive like there's a screen and you kind of poke at it. I mean, it's something you pick up and you, like, you will toss from one, like, station to another or whatever. And I had talked to some folks there because I used to volunteer at the Exploratorium when it was over at the Palace of Fine Arts, and their whole thing is that it has to stand up to, like, roving packs of junior high kids. So all of the exhibits are pretty hardened for that, which is fun.
Nice.
I think my favorite one is there's a parabolic mirror, and the thing with parabolic mirrors is that when you're looking at them from pretty much any angle, they will reproduce the thing that is being reflected, but because it works from any angle, if you're looking at it with two eyes, as most people do, with two eyes, it will actually appear 3D. So there's the illusion where it looks like it's there, and you go to touch it, and your hand goes right through it, and you freak out. It's great.
Wow.
So that's fun. Again, science. It's a thing.
Science and booze. An even better
yes.
thing.
Yeah, science, booze, and comedy.
Awesome.
Yes.
Really good combo.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the highlights whenever Sketchfest rolls around. I think we've done that every year we've both gone.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's like 4 years now, I think.
I think this
longer,
is our...
longer than we've done the podcast.
Yeah. So I really want to hear about the Meltdown show. So I was kind of bummed that I missed it, but it sounded like it was going to be a blast.
Well, I think before we can talk about Meltdown, we have to talk about where we went before Meltdown. Mm-hmm. Because I had never heard of this, and it like blew my mind. Kennedy's.
Kennedy's Irish pub and Curry House.
Like, I had no idea what to expect. Like, is it going to be a combination Irish food, Indian food? Like, are there drinks? Are there no drinks? No, it is an Irish bar, and in the back, there's Indian food.
It's the best of both worlds,
it really.
Really
is. And I got dishes with potato in it so that I could, like, honor both sides. The Irish side and the Indian side. It was awesome. Tasty.
Yeah, so you went up with our friends Jeff and Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And
also friends of the podcast.
Yeah. Have they both been on? I think only Tom has been on.
Tom's been on.
Yeah. We got to get Jeff on one of these.
See episode, insert correct episode number here.
And no also episode, and also episode, insert episode here when he co-hosted.
Oh, that's right. He's on the prestigious list of people who have replaced me. It's a short list.
Yeah.
It's not an easy task.
No.
So Kennedy's was great.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, anytime I go to Cobb's, I feel like I'm missing out if I don't go there. Because it's right there.
Yeah. And then, yeah, walk across the street and you're at Cobb's. And good show.
Yeah, everyone was pretty solid.
Did you sit downstairs? I assume you did because it was such a large group.
Yeah.
Yes. We even finagled a free seat.
We were sat at a table of six, but there were five of us.
Huh.
And they were like, oh, there'll be somebody else coming to sit with you. And I was like,
I was like, no, someone's coming.
We've got a few extra tickets. They're just not physically here. Can we just, like, use the seat? So they let us have it.
Huh. Okay. Well, I'm glad I was there in spirit in that case.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like reserving the empty seat at a wedding for your dead grandma. We reserved an empty seat for you and Julie.
Oh. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I was a wedding photographer for about 7 years, and that is definitely a thing.
Oh, wow.
Put a little picture of her. There's a moment of silence.
It's oh, my gosh.
Very intense.
Wow.
No, did anyone ever, like, pour out some booze and say, this is for my grandma?
Not during the wedding, but lots of stuff happens at receptions. It's kind of wild.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah. We're definitely going to have to talk about that.
Later.
But what, was anything really, like, memorable or good from the show? Did you get razzed at all by the comics? I don't know if they can see that far out.
I don't think they can see us.
No, we were deep enough in that they weren't going to bother us.
Usually when I go, I'm a target. I go to those things and I know they see me and are like, oh, I'm going to make fun of this guy.
You do it to yourself, Alan.
Nice.
So it's kind of a bummer I couldn't be there.
Well, I would say it was very much a bummer you couldn't be there, but yeah. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's still some time. There's a couple more Sketchfest events coming up this week. There's the
tribute to Weird Al.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And that's Friday, just before actually the Nerdist podcast, which is also this Friday.
Yep. Go pay tribute to one of the inspirations of us starting a podcast.
Yeah. I'm a little bummed that it might rain. Well, no, I'm not. I'm glad it's going to rain. I'm a little bummed that it's on the day that I'm driving all the way up to the city.
Yeah. And that we're going to have to cut across the city.
Yeah, that's gonna be.
Yeah, we're gonna figure that out.
I think we should park over by the Marines Memorial and then cab it or whatever.
I think we should figure it out not on the podcast.
Okay.
This isn't park talk, Alan.
It's good strategy.
Cab talk. Yeah.
This has been your transportation minute on the Nothing podcast, never to be repeated. But before we move on from the Meltdown show, I just wanted to say T.J. Miller was, I thought, the best comic that went up there, and he's great. I really like him. Check out Silicon Valley.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to come back. That is an utterly ridiculous show.
Which is in large part due to him.
Yeah, the all you have to say is Lady Liberty, really. So many memories come flooding back. Rad.
I thought the opening was really good when he was doing the audience participation and Jonah and Kumail. Is it Kumail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're interacting. They were really funny, just like riffing off each other and everything. They were really great live.
Yeah, they've got a great chemistry.
Yeah.
One day, man. One day. I don't know if we'd host a comedy show together, but we have always got the podcast.
Yeah. I'm thinking this might be the year I finally go try and do an open mic.
Ooh,
very cool.
And now that I realize I've just said that on the podcast, it's on record. So I guess this is the year I'm going to go do an open mic.
Awesome. Well, there's some good ones up in your neck of the woods, or at least one that I know of over at Hot Monk.
Yeah, I've seen some terrible comics there. The bar's real low. That may be where I start.
Rat. When I was let's see, I think I had just gone, yeah, I was taking a cab between Cobbs and the Norse Theater to go see StarTalk live, and the cabbie, when he found out where we were going, was telling us about an open mic that he used to go to in San Francisco that was held in a laundromat.
Oh.
And Julie thought that was really funny because if you're at a laundromat, you're stuck there. So having, you know, some entertainment probably helped. Maybe. Let's see. And then I'm going to, after the Nerdist, I'm going to one more show. I think it's actually my last show for Sketchfest. I'm going to Bring the Rock on Saturday. And that one is comedians tell a story about something that happened to them that was related to like a song or a piece of music that they had heard growing up. And then they tell that story and then they cover the song. So there's a house band that plays with them, and Brendan Small, who does Metalocalypse, is going to be there, as well as Garfunkel and Oates, which should be good.
Awesome.
I might have to throw in on that. I don't know. I've only got the two more shows scheduled, but I have this itch to go see throw in one last show.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It might be that. It might be Doug Benson's interruption of the Twilight movies.
Oh. I think solid choices either way. Kate. Well, we've alluded to it a little bit, Jillian, but mm-hmm. What is your thing?
Oh, gosh.
Other than going to comedy shows with us in San Francisco.
Hanging out with fabulous people. I have a few things. I'm a software engineer. I am a photographer. I have my own headshot photography studio, Epoxy Studios. And also, I'm a CTO and photographer for a women's group, Unstoppable Women of Silicon Valley. So, plus a few other things.
Yeah.
For those people listening to the podcast who don't know what a CTO is, because I totally know, But for those people, what's a CTO?
Chief Technical Officer.
Ooh. Oh, right on.
When you have a group of three, it's not hard to take over the role of CTO. Like, you're just like, I'm building the website. I get to be CTO. So, I do all the techie stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad the podcast listeners now know what that is. We all.
Thank goodness for those podcast listeners.
Yeah, that's a real service to them.
So, I don't know where to start. What? Tell me more about the women's group.
So, the women's group is an organization dedicated to helping women improve their personal and professional lives just through getting together once a month for a meetup and having various speakers. We also get together for social events. We have a Facebook group where everybody talks, and we're starting to add book groups and other workshops and things like that. So, different ways that you can learn to improve yourself and have some growth.
And is it local? Are there chapters?
Chapters are coming. That's our vision. Right now it's Unstoppable Women of Silicon Valley. Okay. It's based in Campbell.
Okay.
And it's local. But we would love to have like Unstoppable Women of Pennsylvania, Unstoppable Women of San Diego, all over the country.
Or you could just keep it Unstoppable Women of Silicon Valley and do it like University of Phoenix and just put it everywhere and confuse everybody.
We would need a few more technical people for that to happen. Yeah, start recording, charge people just to listen. Yeah.
Yeah, the model is sound. You know? Yeah. I mean, we don't make any money off of recording things, but... you know, it's not saying that someone couldn't.
One of these days.
We could go like the creativelive.com model where they record things live. And if you listen live, then you get it for free. But if you want to listen to it or watch it because it's videos later, then you pay like $100 to $250, something like that for the courses. So
we could be making $100 to $250, Brandon.
Well, if you did 3-day courses on, you know, studio lighting.
But, oh.
Yeah.
I can learn studio. I can turn on lights. I know how to work a switch. I can't speak for Alan, but at least for myself, I know I can handle that.
You can go come be assistants in my studio and learn all about it and then teach it. You'll be good.
Ooh, okay.
I just have to stay one class ahead of the students.
Right. That's all there is to that. Like, when you're an expert, you don't actually have to be, like, the utmost expert. You just have to know more than the people you're teaching. Then you're an expert.
Excellent. Excellent. So tell me more of this studio.
Yeah, so I have a cool little studio near downtown San Jose where I do headshots. It's got huge windows with gorgeous light, and then of course I have all the lighting setups and backdrops and stuff like that. So it's basically like a playroom where I have all these toys and I get to explore.
It is fun.
I feel like our podcast is lacking headshots. We should do that.
So yeah. Interestingly, I actually have headshots by by Epoxy Studios.
But we could take more.
Yeah.
Is that for your voiceover work?
I do have a great face for radio, as the joke goes. Yeah, so when we first met, we did a headshot session.
Yeah.
And Julie took kind of worked with you and then set up some more shots, and she actually turned one of those shots into a painting of hers.
Which is gorgeous, yeah. It was like a headshots session.
Thank you.
Yes, you're beautiful. No, really,
I think
more.
Just talking about the art, Alan.
Yes.
Maybe. Probably.
Also, a photo where your face isn't in it.
It's a really good point. It's a headshot without my head showing. This is broken. This is fundamentally broken right now.
So you just do shots.
Yeah. Right. Also possible in the studio.
Shots. So, okay, important question.
Yeah.
Canon or Nikon?
I do Canon, but I'm not like an evangelist. I went with Canon because at the time I went to pick up my first camera, I looked to see what was on the the used list, mm-hmm. and there was more Canon. So okay. I thought, I can get more lenses for cheap if I go with Canon, so that's what I did. So I love my Canon. I don't have any intention of switching, mm-hmm. but I'm not strictly like Nikon sucks.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not Sony, so it's fine.
Sony in the past, maybe, but they're improving. They're working on it. And honestly, if you really want to have this argument, then we're going Hasselblad. Like, we're going medium format, digital back on a phase one kind of thing. So, Canon Nikon, not even in the picture.
Were you speaking English just now? I got real lost.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm lost. That's on me.
No, Brendan. I'm lost too. I don't know.
The digital SLRs that we talk about, the Canons and the Nikons, even if you're using their top line, you're still kind of only doing that 35 millimeter equivalent if you're talking film days. Mm-hmm. And 35 millimeter in the film days was kind of like the, yeah, I don't care what I get. I have to go fast and it has to be light. So I'll just settle for this 35 millimeter. If you were really in the game, you would have 4x5 negatives, 4 inches by 5 inch negatives.
Whoa.
Or 8x10 negatives.
Oh my God.
Inches.
That's like
or bigger. So saying, oh, I've got 20,000 pixels is just like, really? Oh, do tell. So any digital SLRs that we've got, don't even compare to medium format or large format cameras with digital backs, which are starting to come on the market as more of an available, quote unquote, affordable thing. They're now getting into that 8,000 to 20,000 range just for the body.
Oh.
So it's starting to become affordable.
Yeah, totally affordable. Exactly.
Right. So I'm looking forward to the day when I have some stock that IPOs or something like that, that I could actually go into that. So, yeah. Canon, Nikon, who cares? Medium format. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
See, normally this would be the point in a conversation where I would smile and nod, but since this is a podcast, that makes that really hard to do. So I just need you to imagine that I'm smiling and nodding right now.
Well, there's,
because
there's...
it's actually happening. I mean, you don't have to imagine that it's happening. It is happening.
Imagine. Oh, no, don't worry. There's smiling and nodding happening here, and she can see that.
When you come in for your headshot session, we'll take some with your head up and some with your head down, and I'll make a GIF. And we'll just have a smile and nod GIF that you can add next to the podcast post.
That would... Yeah, that's a thing. Should be a thing. Yeah,
that's going to be a thing.
I'm going to offer that as a new service.
Agreement gifts?
Show your customers you really agree and fully understand what they're talking about.
I felt very engaged.
Active, instead of active listening, it's just active agreeing.
Right.
Or passive agreeing is really what it is.
Yeah. Passive listening.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we should do a podcast headshot
session
of some sort.
Absolutely.
We don't have to record it. But headshots for the podcast.
Podcasts are headshots. You hear a lot of clicking.
It'd be an awful lot of chin up, chin down, chin up, chin down. It'd be really boring.
Cool. What are we? So for photos though, you said you used to do wedding photos?
Yeah, that's how I got my start. I got my first digital camera. My parents gave me like $1,000 from an inheritance they got, and I thought, oh, I'll be really responsible and put this towards savings or something. And then 10 minutes later, I bought a camera. So, and then somehow, long story, but I dove into weddings. Kind of without really thinking about it, which you're really not supposed to do. That's a bad move. Weddings are important and you shouldn't ruin somebody's day by simply deciding that you're going to be a wedding photographer. But thankfully, I was actually really good at it. By the end of the year, I'd done 6 weddings and fell in love. So I shot weddings for about 7.5 years before deciding it was a lot of work and moved to headshots. Just partially because it's a lot less of a schedule nightmare, and partially because I got to have the studio with fun toys and things like that. So it was cool.
Yeah, I guess you can't do a lot when you're... I mean, you can do a lot when you're outside, but you gotta haul it.
Right. There's a lot that you can do outside, but if you can do outside plus natural light and windows plus all your studio lighting, then you just have so many more options.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some beautiful outdoor headshots, don't get me wrong, but I like having the tools, and the, I'm waving my fingers in that evil, like, I have ideas.
I remember
it's also going to be less pressure, right?
Definitely. If I screw up somebody's headshots, it's not like they're not going to remember that in 5 years.
Or you could reshoot it.
Right.
Like, hey, can you say I do again?
Yeah.
You had a really weird look on your face.
I mean, I do miss the adrenaline. Like, headshots don't have the same adrenaline that weddings did. It's not 12 hours on your feet making new best friends, being with everybody through everything, and running to get shots, and, you know, trying to figure out how you're going to fit everything in this time schedule, woofing down your food. You know, there's a lot of, like, heart-pumping action, and headshots are less heart-pumping, but but it's still fun. It's good.
Very cool. Yeah, Julie and I actually shot a wedding. Once we shot our friends Hannah and Amanda's wedding, and it was on a beach, and so what we did was we rented two SLRs from Keeble and Shuckett and some nice lenses and like the biggest memory cards you could get, which I'm sure it was like 8 gigs at the time or some ridiculously small number. But yeah, I remember taking just so many pictures, everything. Yeah. I mean, we had a shot list, and we were like, okay, I'm going to go over here, if you go over there, and we're getting different angles and coverage, and
nice.
I forget what our hit rate was when we finally went down to the wire to like pull pictures out. I want to say it was under like 10%.
That's not bad. For your first one, that's actually not bad.
First and only one, mind you.
Right.
All I know is that if you're getting married, anybody out there, don't have your friends shoot the wedding, because it means that your friends are running around like crazy and are not really in the wedding that much. I mean, it was good, and I was glad to be there, and there was a fair amount of downtime, thankfully, between a couple things, so we were able to at least eat.
That's not always guaranteed. Really.
So any interesting stories or one that you can relate from a wedding?
Oh, gosh.
Or a headshot session or just something?
Duh. I can't think of anything right now that you've put me on the spot.
Sorry.
No. Just crazy things, like the bride who emailed me at 2 a.m. on the night after her wedding to ask me to change her lipstick color in all of the pictures, because she was certain it didn't look good. She hadn't seen any pictures. She was just certain it didn't look good.
Oh.
So.
You should have just told her you did.
Yeah, that would have been a good answer, too. Okay.
What color was it, and what color did it mean to be?
I think she was used to a pink. She let her friend do her makeup, and it turned out to be kind of like this bright coral, which from your perspective probably sounds just like pink, and it kind of is.
That's what I'm hearing. You said the same thing twice.
Yep.
Yeah. And I politely just said, let's look at the images first, and after you've seen them, if you still want that, we can talk to a professional retoucher, because that's not in my skill set. Mm-hmm. So, and we never did it, so.
Oh, well, that worked out.
Yeah. I was in this crazy forum at the time that I started where everybody kind of asked questions and shared stories. So I had a lot of support when things like this came up. I could just post and say, this crazy woman is asking me what do I do? And everybody kind of joins in and goes, well, here's how you handle that. So it was a good, really good community. And I kind of miss that in Headshots, having that wonderful community of photographers that really support each other. So I need to find that in Headshots or create that somehow. Yeah.
Neat.
Let's see. What's going on now, aside from the Headshots with photography, is that I really love to do nude sessions and do more like the artistic side. I'd love to create a book. So my goal for this year is to do 3 of those. I think I only got 2 in last year. So I need to do more of that kind of artistic thing so that with Headshots, there's less art like there was in weddings. So this kind of helps fulfill that end of it. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, Brendan, you're volunteering for that one too, yeah?
I'll do the lighting.
You can both be assistants. I'll need people to hold reflectors. It's very important.
I'm very discreet. I can hold reflectors. I have arms. I'm good at keeping quiet. Yeah, whatever you need, moral support, whatever.
I've learned in these things that if I'm going to have like guy friends kind of at the shoot or near the shoot, that it's very important that they have a job. Because otherwise, they end up standing in the doorway or like right behind me and just creeping.
No. I mean, at least be nice. I do catering. I was free there. Bring some wings. Just be eating wings.
Yeah.
No, you need a job at like all times. Okay. Holding something, directing something.
Got it.
It's yeah, or I can give you a backup camera.
I know what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm going to fake it.
I can give you a camera. We don't have to put a memory card in it. But just so long as you have something to hold, it's better.
I mean, all right, I'm going to make that joke.
Yeah. Too easy.
Not even going to dignify that with a response. But yeah, no, I mean, you can put a card in it. I'm not a totally useless human.
Maybe I'll bring my own card.
Yeah.
No, maybe not.
Why doesn't he take the cap off the lens? Oh no, it's a special one.
It's very avant-garde.
Yeah.
Nudes in black.
The blackness speaks to your soul.
Oh, hilarious. Well, we talked the women's group, we talked weddings. We didn't talk about software engineering. I don't know. Is that something you want to talk about?
Sure. Yeah. I'm a software engineer. I work for a small startup in San Jose called Denal. We do mobile payments, fraud detection, mobile identification kind of stuff.
Ooh, fraud detection.
Yeah.
What does that entail?
So we work with all of the major carriers, and one of the things that we're able to do is work with the carriers with your consent to get your information and say, here's your address, here's your email on file, that kind of thing. And we don't necessarily share that with merchants at all times. It depends on the use case. But sometimes what we can do is if a merchant has taken your information, like you're ordering something online and you've put in your name is Alan Meridian and you live at 1111, you know, Sesame Street. Well, we can use that.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just told everyone my address on the air. Okay, it's all right. All right, we can go.
So if we check that against the carrier and the carrier says, well, no way, Alan Meridian does not live there. He lives at this other address. We can say, okay, merchant, there's a high risk that this is a fraud case because they're giving different information. Mm-hmm. So maybe somebody can't purchase something on your account. Because we've detected that there's a fraud there. Or maybe they're asked to give additional verification. So just to make sure things are on the up and up.
Oh, good. I do like not her. Identity theft is not a thing. So,
right.
Right on. I like it.
Right.
That's right, Alan, if that is your real name. Meridian sounds like a made-up name.
It sure does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sure does. Rad. Yeah.
So it's a fun company. It's less than 30 people. Everybody knows everybody else.
Oh, is this one of those fabled, like, Silicon Valley startups that I keep hearing about?
Yeah, it's kind of a stable startup. We've been in business for 4 or 5 years, and we have good backing, and everything's fairly solid, but it's still got that small kind of family feel, but without the startup hours.
Do you have a foosball table?
We do.
Okay, then it's a... It sounds legit. Yeah, it's a startup.
I've never used the foosball table, but we have one. Our recent acquisition is these ginormous beanbag chairs. We now have about 10. They keep growing. We started with like 4, and then we're like, these are great. Let's get more. So every time we come in, there's more beanbags.
Like tribbles.
Yes. Yes.
Really big, non-furry tribbles.
That you can sit on. So we have one conference room where they've taken out all the chairs and it's just bean bags.
Oh, nice.
So we basically lounge. Our stand-up meeting, so the scrum has become a lounge and bean bags meeting. It's kind of the opposite. But it's
so,
a fun company.
So do you not call them sprints anymore either because you're in chairs the whole time?
We still have 2-week sprints. Ish. we do agile-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
But it's fun. We do poker with the CEO when he's in town. He's trying to teach us all strategy through poker. So
there's a lot of learnings that can come from that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
Neat. Well, let's see. Where can people find you on the internet if they want to find you?
Or that you want to be found.
If you want them to find you.
Well, my main spot to find me would be epoxystudios.com. That's epoxystudios.com.
Ooh, spelling.
Well, I've done that one before.
Nice.
Or look me up on Facebook, Jillian Coughlin. I'm happy to connect with people.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And we'll sign up for that nude or headshot session at some point.
We'll figure out a way to combine it. I'll take headshots while you're having to look at a nude figure, and we'll just see what facial expressions we can get.
I'll just tell you, you'll get your money's worth. My facial expressions will be priceless.
Excellent. That's when we'll get the GIF.
Awesome. Well, Jillian, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have you again on soon. It was a very, very quick 45 minutes, if I may say so. Brendan, what's going on between now and the next show? We're seeing a couple sketch of us shows, but are we still doing
Pliny? I took the day off. I took the day off to go do Pliny. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, well, we're going to stand in line potentially 12.
I'm not standing for 12 hours, man. I'll give like 2.
It said 12 hours in the rain is what happened last year.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. So I'll bring a camp chair. We'll see how it goes, and I guess I'll see you on Friday, but I will talk to you for the show next week.
Thank you for coming on, Jillian.
Oh, thanks for having me. Have a good night.
Until next time.
Bye.